Now, shall we read together, please, tonight, just a short portion from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and a very familiar story. And I was just thinking about this last evening. Matthew, chapter 2, and we'll read together from verse 1. And we read, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately or privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over the young child where he was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Amen. God will bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts. Now, as you read through the word of God, you will find that the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church at Corinth, he said, the Jews require a sign. And you remember that even in the course of our Lord's ministry, that how the rulers of the Jews came and again, and they would ask the Lord for various signs that he was truly the Son of God. Now, when you read the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find that there are three great outstanding signs in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to his birth, we find that the great sign given that the Savior of the world had come was that there was the star shining in the east that was to lead the wise men. And so the first sign was that of the star, that star that guided the wise man. And then as you move on and you come from the birth to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will find that was another great sign given that the Lord Jesus indeed was the Son of God. And you'll remember that the Lord, the one who was the light of the world, and how that he hung upon that cross, and then suddenly there was darkness over the whole of the earth. And we find that the sun refused to shine, and that the Lord Jesus Christ hung in darkness in the middle cross of Calvary when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The old covenanter Samuel Rutherford said, it was almost as if the sun looked down from heaven and said, why should I shine? Why should I give light while my Creator and Maker, the Son of God, hangs in darkness upon the cross? That was another great sign that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God. And then you'll remember again that there was another sign that was given at the time of his resurrection. And you remember how that when the disciples came, that the stone was rolled away, and the angel was able to say, come, see the place where the Lord lay. He has risen as he said. And so you have these three great signs given to us in the life of the Lord Jesus the sign of the star at his birth, the sign of the sun at his death, and then, hallelujah, the sign of the stone and his resurrection when the Lord Jesus on the third day rose again from the dead. Now, I was just thinking upon these words of the wise men and how we read in verse 2 of our chapter, our scripture reading in Matthew chapter 2. And do you remember the question that was asked, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And I was struck by that little phrase, his star, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when you think of the word of God here and about this star, I'm sure there are many things that spring to your mind. But there was three things that challenged me by this little phrase, his star, two words that singled out the fact that this was no ordinary star, but rather it was his star, the star of the bright and morning star, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to suggest, first of all, that it was his star by creation. It was his star by creation. You know, it's interesting to notice here that it says, and we are come to worship him. And we're reminded that this was no ordinary child that was born, that the Lord Jesus Christ was Emmanuel, a God with us, that the Word was made flesh, and the one who had made all things at the very beginning, the great Creator, had humbled himself and had now come to be the Savior of the world. And the one who made man in his image is now made in the image of man without sin as he steps out to fulfill the Father's will in the great plan of salvation. And so it was his star by creation. He was there in the beginning. Remember, John tells us, if you look there in the Gospel of John chapter 1, these are always great verses if you're speaking to, in particular, a Jehovah Witness or someone else who denies the deity of Christ. And if you look there in verse 3 of John chapter 3, it says, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And then look down the chapter, and you'll find there again a great statement in verse 10. It says, he was in the world. Listen. And the world was made by him. The hymn writer put it well, the great Creator became my Savior. And there's a lovely little phrase that you'll find tucked away in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16. And Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is giving in great detail the work of creation and what happened. And then you'll remember how that on the fourth day the sun was made and the moon was made and all the great lights. And then it adds this little phrase at the end of verse 16. The Holy Spirit says this, and he made the stars also. And he made the stars also. It's just as if to say, don't forget this. And by the way, he made the stars also. You know, beloved, if you only knew the galaxies and the stars that are outside there, and astronomers can tell you today that there are planets thousands of times stars larger than this very universe that you and I live in. I was in the Smithsonian Institute there some weeks ago in America, and went into the great Saxon Museum that they have on astronomy and about the all the spaceships that went to the moon and so on. And you can go in and you can see pieces of moon rock and so on. And it's fascinating. And all the photographs of the stars and the planets. And you know, there's not a mention about God. And I felt like shouting out at the top of my voice, he made the stars also. It was my God made it all in the beginning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The triune God working together created all things, and he made the stars also. And don't forget that that little babe that would reach out its hand one day and hold the hand of Mary, his mother, was the same little hand that upholds all things by the word of his power, and even the very stars in their own told trillions that's around this planet of ours. It's no wonder we sing, "How great thou art." We have seen his star. Beloved, it was his star by creation. But then could I suggest this? It was his star by commission. It was his star by commission. You know, this star, out of all the stars that God made, and we've mentioned the fact that there was trillions of them, yet God singled out one particular star for a specific task, and it was to go and to shine and to be a sign and a witness that the Savior of the world has come. Oh, it was his star by commission. God commissioned, God ordained, God sent forth this star to go and shine and to let the wise men of the world know that the Lord Jesus had come into the world to save sinners. It was his star by creation. And you know, beloved, as you read the book of the Revelation, you'll find it talks about the seven stars, and John tells it the seven stars are the seven angels. And the ministers are compared to seven stars, 70 angels. And the purpose of a star, of course, is to radiate light. And a minister is ordained and is commissioned of God to preach the gospel. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And then he says to his church, "Ye are the light of the world." And as preachers of the gospel, we're called to be like John the Baptist, of whom it was said he was a bright and a shining light. And preachers are called to be a witness for the Savior. And what's true of the preacher is also true of every believer. You're called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember how that Paul, in that lovely phrase when he was writing to the believers at Thessalonica, or at Philippi chapter 2 and verse 15, and he reminded them that they shine as lights in a dark world. And this is what God has saved you for, that you would shine and that you would be a witness for him. There was an old Negro spiritualist used to say, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine." And you know, the Lord Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And as Christians, by our lives and how we, what we do, we're to let our light shine. Now, has this ever struck you? It's not so much our actions that we're judged by, but I find very often it's our reaction. It's our reaction. And sometimes our actions are good, but our reactions in certain situations can be very bad. I remember when I was serving my time in the Cove Bakery in Ravenhill Avenue, and I was doing what you call feeding the oven. Now, I wasn't giving the Paris buns, though. We'll put them in there sometime. But what they have is these travelling ovens. Big, massive things. I'm sure you saw them many a time, brother. You had all these big trays and trolleys, and you had to feed the oven and five in the line, and you had to stand there with the sweat pouring out of you. I wasn't so fat then. And you had to stand there putting the trays in. And I remember standing there, and there was these two men come over. And one of them says, "Call yourself a Christian? Don't seem what you knew would make me want to be a Christian. I think you're a bit of a hypocrite." And these two men, there was a big one and there was a small one. And boy, did they rip into me. And I said to myself, "Lord, give me grace. Lord, help me to have the right reaction." Now the flesh said, "Grab this in the trousers and put them into the oven." And I just felt like that. You know, the old hackles were up and just wanted to hit back, you know. And I looked at them and I smiled and I said, "Well, sorry if I'm not what I should be. But you know, you're not called to look to me. You're called to look to Christ. And you'll not have to give an account to me. You'll have to give an account to the Lord. And I was cut. I was really hurt as a young believer. 5 minutes later, the two of them came back and slapped me. Well, young fella, hope you didn't take that all to heart. We're just saying if we could break you. Just trying to break your temper. Goad you into something. Doing something that was wrong. And that's why I say sometimes it's not your action that counts so much. It's your reaction. Sometimes, you know, we can get short with people and we can... Maybe we're under pressure and somebody says something and you just snap at them. You know, Dr. Harry Ironside one time, and he had been preaching and he was going along in the car with his wife, and his wife said something to him, and he just turned and he snapped at her, nearly at the face of her. And afterwards, you know that awful silence, and Dr. Ironside turns to the wife and he says, "Dear," he says, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry for snapping at you. But you know, dear, I've had to preach 4 times today." Oh, she says, "I know, Harry, I had to listen to you." And you know, sometimes it's just like that. A reaction in a situation. Learning to apologize. Learning to go and ask forgiveness. Humble yourselves. By doing this, we let our light shine before men, that we are the genuine article and we belong to Jesus. His star by creation, his star by commission, but then it was his star by celebration. It was his star by celebration, because did you notice it there in the Word of God, how that when the star came, and it says in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped Mary. Doesn't say that in my Bible. And worshipped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Oh, it was his star by celebration. What joy unspeakable and full of glory there was in the hearts of these shepherds when they came and they saw the Christ child, when they came to the end of their journey, and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what celebration there was. And you know, Christmas for the believer, it ought to be a time of celebration. Celebrating the fact that, to me, what I think is one of the greatest of all miracles, that the Word became flesh, that the Lord Jesus took upon himself our nature, was born of the Virgin Mary, and he did it all to become your Savior and mine. He humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, and he came not as a great king, though he was, but he came as an infant child. And you know, beloved, when you think of it all, is not the wonder of Christmas that Christ came that he might dwell in your heart and mine? The wonder is this, not so much that he was led, born in a stable, or he was led in a manger. The wonder is this, that he came that he might reside in your heart and mine. I spoke about Dr. Ironside there, and one day he was out in the Holy Land and he was with his wife. He was guiding, taking a tour of people, and came to Nazareth. Now, even today, Nazareth is still a very dirty place. It's not like one of the great seaport places where it thrives with business and so on, and there's a lot of prosperity. But Nazareth has always been a very dirty place. Didn't have a good reputation, even in Bible times. Can any good thing, the question was asked, come out of Nazareth? And they were standing there in Nazareth amidst all the dirt and the smells and in the heat of the day. And Dr. Ironside turned round and he looked, and there was his wife standing, and the tears were rolling down her cheeks. And he said, dear, what's wrong? What's wrong, dear? She says, Harry, to think that our lovely Lord Jesus Christ came and spent the largest part of his life living in a dirty, smelly place like Nazareth. Noel Irons said, he says, dear, I'll tell you something more wonderful than that. And he pulled back his jacket and he says, it's more wonderful that he comes into this old dirty heart of mine and he resides there as Savior and Lord. Doesn't Paul say something about Christ in you, the hope of glory? That's what a Christian is. The word Christian begins with the word Christ and then ends with the two letters. What is it? N. Christ N. Tell me, is that your testimony tonight? Christ resides within. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bit of enter while you may. You know, I was with some friends today and a dear brother, Billy Malarche, wee man, but a firebrand. And talking about the day he was saved. And you know, Billy started to sob and the tears came down his cheeks. Just thinking about what God had done for him. You know, sometimes as Christians we'll lose the wonder of it all. Don't lose the wonder of the Christmas message. Don't lose the wonder God's so great salvation. We have seen his star by creation, his star by commission, and then his star by celebration. It was an occasion for great joy. May the Lord just bless that little meditation to our hearts this evening.